Hey, this is Brandon Crawford from the San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants, with hosts Willie Dills, Chad King, and Ben Lee.
Let's go, Giants! SF Giants! Let's go, Giants! SF Giants!
Dedicated to the greatest team in Major League Baseball history, the San Francisco Giants, this is TortureCast.
Welcome, everybody, to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. My name is Willie Dills, and this is a bonus-ode, which we haven't done a single one of this year.
First one of the year, man.
And this is an incredibly exciting bonus-ode because we just witnessed a historically massive output of offense tonight in the Giants versus the Phillies game. I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Chad King. Welcome.
Hey, man, that was fun.
That was fun.
What, it's my third or fourth game of the year?
Yeah.
Right one to go to,
picked a good one.
Picked a good one.
So you got to the ballpark. Let's take everybody through the day, as we usually do on the bonus odds. You got to the ballpark 3 o'clock?
Before 3. It was early day for me. I mean,
so you put in a full day at the yard today.
Because
it is now 11.
Yeah, I'm expecting the check in the mail for my extra work today.
Well, let's enjoy that by having a little shot of bourbon here. Yeah. Giants win 15-2.
Yeah.
So let's just recap real quick before we go into the whole thing. Giants scored 15 runs tonight. The Philadelphia Phillies only scored 2. The Giants had 22 hits tonight. Now, that was a high for AT&T Park, or for the Giants in AT&T Park. Did they say if it was, like, any team?
No, it said for the Giants at AT&T
Giants.
Park.
So that means somebody else must have at
some
point.
That's what I'm thinking. Someone had 23 or more at one point. I don't know who that is.
We'll look into that. But there was a lot of fun things that actually happened tonight as well. This game kind of had it all, man. Like,
yeah.
There was Bumgarner pitching great. There was an 8-run inning. There was a guy maybe going to hit the cycle. There was 3 players who had 4 hits. There was a fan diving into the water for a home run ball.
It was a grand slam.
It was a grand slam, a Hunter Pence grand slam. Let's see, what else do we have? A
couple of nice catches.
We had not once, but actually twice, Bat Boys fell down.
Yes.
The first one was actually captured on camera. The second one, I don't know, maybe you even missed it too.
No, I missed the second one. I only saw the first
one. The Phillies Bat Boy actually stumbled a little bit and went down coming off the field, but he was close to the dugout. It wasn't, the Giants Bat Boy fell down right on his ass. Like giving balls to the umpire, so like everybody was looking
was
right
like
at him.
Was extra dew on the grass or something tonight? I mean, what the hell is going on with that?
I don't know.
I didn't see any of their players fall, but
it was pretty hilarious.
Yeah, they're wearing tennies anyway.
It was pretty hilarious. They didn't give them spikes, man. Clearly,
no.
Running around on the field. So you got to the ballpark at about 3 o'clock, and what did you do? You actually got to go talk to some players, right?
Yeah. So went into the clubhouse and kind of surveyed the land and. The first thing I did was kind of embarrassing. It was a little bit of a rookie mistake.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But, when you go into the clubhouse, and I'm not one of those guys, you see a lot of reporters, they're just going to pile on players. And I kind of respect their space. I kind of survey the land. It's like when I go to Vegas, and I don't just hit the slot machines right away. I like to do a couple laps, kind of get into the moment. Feel my way around. Same thing in the clubhouse. So at first, I didn't know kind of who to go to. If you see someone dressing, you're like, okay, well, I'm not going to hit him up. Someone just had an interview. Let's give him a break.
Sure.
Vogelsong was just in his chair with his hat backwards like it always is, just on his phone for like 10 minutes. I mean, literally, that's how long it took before I finally dove in.
Yeah.
So I walk up to him. Hey, Ryan, you have a couple minutes for a couple of questions. That death stare that he has on the mound, I've never seen it actually gaze towards me personally from about 3 feet away. Pretty much peered through my soul, and he said, no, man, I'm pitching tomorrow.
So he has essentially like a 48-hour like window of do not talk to me.
Yeah, and that was a rookie mistake. I completely forgot. He follows Bumgarner right now in the rotation, and Bum pitched tonight. So, yeah, Vogie's pitching tomorrow, and I completely dropped the ball on that one.
Yeah.
I kind of immediately said,
but you know what, all right.
You can say you dropped the ball, but also,
I mean, he's kind of a dick move to be like, no one can talk to me for like 48 hours around my starts. I mean, I don't know. Not that I'm saying like pitchers aren't allowed to have their quirks and their whatever that they need to do to get prepared, but I'll bet you this. I'll bet you that if Vogelsong tomorrow was like, you know what, I'm going to back off this whole no one can talk to me during my starts things, I think he'll be fine. I think he'd still pitch probably just as good as he
think he'd be
now.
Fine.
I think
I'm sure it's
fine.
A superstition.
It's
all
a
good.
Thing, yeah.
It's
part
all,
of his personality.
No. And look, I didn't take it personally. That's just his thing. I mean, it doesn't matter who walked up to him.
Yeah.
To want to ask
he
him
wasn't
going to
want to talk.
He wasn't going to want to talk. Yeah. He doesn't know me from a hole in the ground, so it's all good.
Sure.
So after that, I did go up to Matt Duffy. He's right by Gregor Blanco, and he was just on his phone, too. And that's a funny thing. Actually, most of the guys, almost being on the phone is almost like an indication of, like, I'm not doing shit right now.
Sure.
Go ahead and ask me some questions, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I walk up to him, and, you know, you and I actually interviewed him last year after a game. He only had been up for a few weeks, I think, at that time.
Yeah.
And he had a big hit in that game.
He actually had a pinch hit in that game.
Yeah, put a nail in the coffin, remember that?
That was his kind of role last season.
Right, before he was a starter.
Yeah. Pinch hitter spot relief in the infield and that kind of stuff. So.
And when we went up to him, he almost looked surprised that someone wanted to talk to him.
Yeah.
He was very, very engaging.
He wasn't a name in the dugout at all.
No, not at all. So I went up to him. He was like, oh, yeah, no problem. I got time for you. I figured, you know, he's new. He's still going to do it. So he was a great interview, and you can hear it. I already posted it to the website, so check it out. But, you know, I asked him some softball questions, but really kind of dove into him being called up last year and the adjustment from Double-A, which actually the Eastern League that he was hitting in for Richmond is a pitcher's league. And he was hitting over, what, 340, 350 at the time when they called him up?
So he was doing well. Yeah.
So he was doing really well. I was just asking him kind of the main difference between Double-A and the Eastern League and here in the major leagues. And then also a little bit about when he gets into a slump, how does he bury an 0-for-4 or a 1-for-20 or whatever it is? And so he went into some of that. It was actually pretty good. I also did ask him about Vogelsong and, like, you got any advice for a rookie mistake that I pulled? And he said the same thing that you did. Don't take it personally. That's just his thing. And he's the only guy in the entire clubhouse that has that kind of pseudo policy.
Let's think about this. Duffy was starting tonight.
Well, I mean, that's the funny thing, right?
Yeah.
Pitchers have this, like, magical aura around them. Where, like, if they're starting, you can't talk to them on the day of their start.
I feel like what it was probably Vogelsong that came up with that being a thing. Because he's a little more, you know, he's a little older of a guy.
Yeah.
I feel like that has kind of changed. You look at a guy like Lincecum, who just doesn't really give a crap.
Like,
his start is a normal day. It's just the day that I start.
No, he'll talk.
And, you know,
he'll talk to you on his start day.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't care.
And, you know,
when he had no hitters, he's going
no
up
hitters,
to players.
He's hanging out with his buddies in the dugout. Like,
talking to them, and his players are like, "Oh,
like,
get away from me."
Kind of an old school mentality that maybe Vogelsong has kind of adopted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, and also, you know, he had his time in Japan. I think it's kind of, you know, Japan's like very traditional about their baseball. There's probably a lot of guys like that there.
Sure.
So, you know, don't take it personal because that's just a guy being whatever, doing whatever he thinks he needs to do.
Nah, he was a good interview, and we got a little...
And he talked to Crawford as well,
got a little soundbite at the end, and then I went over to Crawford, and he was right by Panic. Them two share lockers, or side by side. And Crawford was great, too. I asked him some similar questions, but of course I introduced him as the All-Star
shortstop
for the San Francisco Giants. Basically, how does that feel? He had a grin ear to ear.
Sure.
I mean, he's a guy who's pretty low key,
but he's
not screaming in the my microphone. But at the same time, he was smiling the entire time.
Yeah.
He digs this.
He's now, I would say, like, you still think of him as a young guy, and same thing with like Brandon Belt. I still think of them as young players, and they are. But they're both fairly seasoned at this point.
Oh yeah.
They've both actually like been in the league for several years now. And it's nice to see Crawford getting that recognition. But when you're, like, when we look at him, he's, like, been our shortstop for a while. But when you think like, oh, but first also like young, he's still young. He's still really young and lots of room for improvement as he goes on.
Oh,
pretty
yeah.
much just from the plate, but can't really get much better than he is defensively. But we should also mention too, he's scuffling pretty hardcore. And while the rest of the team came alive tonight, unfortunately, Crawford did not. Crawford was, I think,
0-for-4.
The only guy in the starting lineup without a hit.
Yep.
And that includes Bumgarner, because Bumgarner was 2-for-3.
Yeah, 2.
Yeah, Bumgarner was 2-for-3 tonight. So.
And he addressed that before the game. I didn't ask him about scuffling. I just asked him about when he is scuffling,
like,
how
do
does he
do?
Handle that mentally? Because you get to this point by being able to put aside a bad streak or an 0-for-4 and moving on to the next day, and how does he do that? He answered that, but he actually said, you know, well, lately I've been scuffling. So, I mean, he brought it up himself. So clearly it's
well,
on his mind.
I can actually give you so there's all right, here we go. So one hit in his last 18 at bats, and now that's one in the last 22.
Ooh. Ouch.
194 with 4 home runs and 14 RBIs in the last 30 games.
It's a whole month.
That's an extended slump at this point.
No, we talked about it on the walk over here, and you know, we were all screaming All-Star when he was hitting 300 and then 290 and even 280. I think going into his last at-bat, he was hitting 256, so it's now to 255 or 254. And I was saying to you, obviously he was selected by the players and not Bochy, which is actually a huge statement. It really is, because his peers respect him and think that he's worthy of an All-Star appearance.
Absolutely.
But that being said, it's possible he could go into his first at-bat on national television.
Yeah, hitting.
They might say, hey, here's All-Star Brandon Crawford hitting 250.
But
that's a little
they
weird.
Also have to say he's got 50 RBIs. He's got, you know,
he's
really
still in
good
the top
numbers.
10 of WAR in all of the National League.
And also, if you think, like, so you can say he's been hitting 250, but runners in scoring position, still hitting 338 in those scenarios. And still 5 for his last 15 in those scenarios as well. And 333 against lefties. Which actually there was a lefty on the mound tonight for the Phillies, so.
Yeah, and I did ask him about that. You know. I asked him about, you know, now the last few years, statistically speaking.
Yeah, he does well
he
against
hits
lefties.
Actually,
for
much
reason.
Better against lefties.
So,
and
what
I
was
asked
his
him,
answer for that?
Do you feel more comfortable against lefties, or is it about the angle that's coming in and away from you versus righties coming into you?
He seems to pull them, though, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And he said, I don't know what it is. He said, I do hit lefties better. He's like, you can call it being more comfortable against lefties. I don't think that's what it is, but I don't know. I was kind of reading between the lines. I actually do think he's actually more comfortable hitting against lefties. I don't know what it is. I know when I played, and I have no sample size to speak of like Brandon Crawford has, I actually preferred hitting off righties, and I'm a righty, versus lefties, only because lefties were so infrequent.
Yeah.
Way more infrequent than what the pros face, by the way.
Yeah.
It was like one out of
the
six
pros
games,
see
right?
Lefties a lot, yeah.
And it was just an odd angle.
Pros
to
see
hit
lefties
off.
Every game, yeah.
Exactly. So that's a little bit different. But at the same time, he said that, you know, basically he feels more comfortable against them. So I also did ask him, though, when Bochy puts him in, would it be cool if he puts both him and Panic in at the same time?
Oh, yeah. In the All-Star game?
And again, he smiled and said, that would be great. That would be sweet. And then
and
he followed that up and said, I'd love to turn a double play with Panic in the All-Star game.
Well, this is the thing. I don't even think that that's just a cool thing. I think if you're Bruce Bochy, it makes sense. Because if you're going to put them either of those guys in the game, you might as well put them in together when you get
Why would you stagger them?
Yeah, when you get the advantage of having two guys who know how to work well together.
That's only going to help your defense, right?
Exactly, yeah. And if you're going to play them regardless, you play them at the same time, I think. So, all right, so let's get into this game, because this game was ridiculous. If you want to read my stream of consciousness during the game, that is posted now on torturecast.com. Quite a few things there. Talked about the ball boy hitting the dirt. Talked about I kind of realized this as I was watching the game. Duffy's hitting in the 3-hole. If you had told me that Duffy would be hitting in the thirds position on our team consistently, I would have said, well, we're probably not in second place. We're probably having a really bad year, because that is historically on our team, you know, Pablo, Belt, Pence, Posey, somebody of that kind of stature as a hitter, at least someone with that kind of track record, and Duffy is a guy in his first full season as a player, you know. So it's pretty surprising that not only is he there, but that he's actually there and he's actually excelling in that role. And I'll have to look up his numbers. It would be interesting to talk about for the next show, but what his numbers are from different spots in the lineup, because we have been struggling looking for somebody to be able to hit consistently in the third spot. But Posey pretty much sits in the fourth spot. And I don't think with Posey's lack of speed, and he's got a little bit of a hamstring issue right now, you put Posey in the third spot because he just clogs up the base paths too much, you know? So you need somebody who kind of fills all the roles, and right now he's kind of filling all the roles, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen when Aoki comes back. By the way, Bochy said in the pregame presser that...
Yeah. 2 weeks or so?
Physically, he can probably come back in 2 weeks, yeah. And they're kind of excited about the whole Pence experiment about not sending him to actual rehab.
Yeah, just having him come straight to the big club.
They might do that with Aoki. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, he might only have a couple of rehab starts, but at the same time, he said, we just may put him right back in. But if they do put him right back in, Aoki's going to be at the top, panic number two.
Yeah.
So then what are they going to do? I mean, I feel right now, even though Pagan had 3 hits tonight, obviously we know he has a knee issue, and he's been struggling lately.
Yeah.
I think you keep Duffy at 3. I really do.
Yeah, no,
and
I think
you,
so
and you put Pagan down at 6 or 7.
Yeah, no. Until Duffy starts to cool off and Pagan starts to heat up.
Yeah.
Then you don't make any move like that. I think Pagan. The other
they both have been cold the last few weeks.
Sure,
Both Duffy and Pagan.
Well, not tonight though. Tonight they were not cold.
No, they both were. Yeah, Pagan 3.
But if you think about it, like, so, the way I like to look at our lineup is like if we don't get like a rally going by the time Pence comes up in the fifth spot, which I like Pence in the fifth spot, it's almost like you turn the lineup over again and start over again with another leadoff hitter in the sixth spot. And then when you've got guys like Crawford who, you know, hopefully he won't be scuffling from here on out. Hopefully he'll get back into his form. Another guy who can drive in runs, you know, behind a guy like Pagan. So to me, it makes a lot of sense to be able to kind of move them around like that and have Pagan a little bit later in the order. So I would love to see that stick as well. Let's see. So we had all the runs, all the scoring, all the craziness. But we also had a fairly good start by Bumgarner. That was kind of not the story of the game, but it was a shorter one for him, I would say.
He came and it was only because of that last inning.
Yeah, we scored 8 in the fourth inning.
Yeah, and by the way, in the fourth inning when they scored 8, and we didn't address this with Crawford's 0-for-4.
Yeah,
Crawford led off the inning with an out.
He struck out to lead off the inning.
Then the Giants proceeded to score 8 straight runs, capped off by Pence's grand slam.
Yeah. And then Crawford came back to the plate.
And then it came back to Crawford. 8 straight Giants scored. How many times can you say that in the year?
Yeah.
8 straight Giants. Not they scored 8 in an inning.
Yeah.
8 straight Giants scored.
And not only that, but by the end of that 8 batters, the bases were cleared and it was like reset again.
It's like reset for Crawford.
Yeah, start all over.
And then he makes the second out of the inning.
Another out.
And, I mean,
and then Brandon
like,
Belt actually made the third out.
Yeah.
So all 3 outs in the inning were Brandon outs.
Yeah.
So,
that's like kangaroo court stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
It's weird. It was definitely weird. So when the Giants scored 8 in the fourth, basically we didn't need Bumgarner to stretch himself anymore at that point.
And he had 2 hits tonight.
Bumgarner gave up, I think he ended up with like runners on first and second. Bochy just yanked him at that point. It was like, we'll get the rest of these outs through the
bullpen. No, his base is loaded.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, he had the final walk,
which
loaded the bases, and he brought in Kontos.
Yeah, okay,
and
that's
Kontos
right.
Induced the 4-3 to panic.
So they scored 1 in that inning.
Right, and
so
that
both
before
runs were actually,
Kontos came in.
Yeah. Both runs in the game for the Phillies were actually both earned. And credit to Bumgarner.
Yeah, because he pitched 5 2/3. But Kontos, I mean, he's been a story this year.
Yeah, he's been
effective.
That's
22 or 23 inherited runners this year. He has not allowed one of them to score.
Yeah.
Think about that.
That's pretty insane.
I mean, you come in with the bases loaded, you come in with a couple of runners on, you don't allow a single one to score, and it's not your fault if one of them scores.
No, absolutely not.
But he shut them down. I mean, that's incredible to me, so... kind of a story in itself.
Yeah. There's a drink on the pool table. And that is like...
Oh, that's...
It just drives me fucking crazy, dude.
Yeah. Moisture
it
on the
drives
felt.
Drives me crazy when that happens. Yeah, I'm a pool player, so I see that shit, I'm just like,
I cringe too.
Yeah. I actually had a, I was at a concert the other night, and we're watching this band, and this guy comes up, and there's like a, at this venue, they have like a sound guy in the back who's like doing like the front of house sound, so like what you actually hear is the audience. And then there's another board that's off to the side of the stage, and what that's used for is a monitor mix. So that's the mix that the band hears, right? Because they're two separate things, and each person has like their own little spot, and they have their own monitor that's like feeding them the mix they like, you know. And there's a guy there, and he's standing there, and he's got his arm over this mixing board. He's got like a full beer in his hand, and he's like propped up against it and leaning over with this full beer like over the mixing board. And I'm just sitting there, and I couldn't help myself. I went over and I was like, you should really move. Like, I was like, I don't know you. I don't know if you're a guy who spills things a lot, but it's just kind of a rule. Don't put your drinks over the mixing board. He's like, well, oh yeah, right on.
If and when you have kids, Willie, you will understand that they will have open containers of chocolate
everything
milk,
will get ruined,
fruit
right?
punch, ice cream cones, and they will walk near electronics and
over
carpet and over couches, and you just kind of do the whole like, you must move now, but not, no sudden moves.
Sure. There's just a few things that over time you get like a little bit anal about, you know.
When
electronic equipment, especially recording expensive recording equipment, you just
my
you
son put
be
a bouncy ball in my subwoofer 3 days ago.
Oh yeah,
and it took a couple of days to get it out.
Sure,
it was like one of those labyrinth games where you're trying to get it out. You know, it's like rolling it around, and shaking it.
Every time you turn your bass up a little bit, you hear it like.
Oh yeah, it bounces around.
So.
It goes.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, so let's see. Other stories of the game. Oh, we had a weird standoff. Bumgarner. I've never actually seen this.
I've never seen that
so
either.
So Bumgarner's run is a, there's a first and second situation, and I don't know who's at that camera. It's got to be like Panic or Duffy or somebody, right? So they ground it to the third baseman, and the third baseman picks it up and just stands there waiting for Bumgarner to run into him, right? Well, so you just tag him out.
But at first, and it was, can't remember, Franco.
Yeah, Malik Franco, yeah.
The thing is, he fielded it, and Bumgarner was about to cross his path, and he actually cocked his arm ready to throw. And I'm thinking, as a baseball player, why aren't you just tagging the runner or running the third, right? You got to force play to end the inning.
Yeah.
But it was so funny, because once he cocked his arm, it's almost like he suddenly realized, oh, wait, there's a runner right there.
Yeah.
And then suddenly his arm went back down.
Yeah.
And he looks at Bumgarner. Bumgarner stops. And there was like 3 seconds at least where he stood still and Bumgarner stood still.
And they just looked at
each
other.
And no one moved.
Nobody did anything.
And they looked at each other.
Yeah.
And then the whole stadium started laughing.
Started laughing,
Started
and
laughing.
And Bumgarner kind of like went like, oh, should I like be in a pickle?
Yeah, it was like a little robot move, right?
He was like, well, if you're not going to move, then and then he just kind of put his hands on his knees and was like, all right, I guess we're doing this.
Yeah.
And the left fielder came in and said, yo,
Just
step on
tag
third
dude.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah, and so Franco like took a step towards Bum, and then he realized, you know, it's easier if I do this. And then he turned around and just lazily jogged to third base.
You know, it's funny, if it was a guy with some
bag.
Speed, who he might have been able to like run past him, and
But yeah, I think Joe Castellano kind of put it perfectly. He said, I think that's the longest out I've ever seen my life.
Yeah.
Because it really did take something like 10 or 12 seconds to actually
just
complete
all
the out. Yeah, because everyone's just standing around like, what do we do? I can tag you. Wait. Well, no, I could also go over here.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go over here.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, that
but
was
it was
funny.
It was quite entertaining, and everybody was really into it.
Everybody loved that.
Let's see. We also had a panic home run go into
hit. Almost splash 69. Everybody, that's a hashtag, right?
Uh-huh.
Splash 69.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
And because they have 68 splash hits right now. It was very close.
So it bounced on the...
It bounced
like,
somewhere near
so
the top.
So did it go actually out and then bounce? Like on the...
It bounced somewhere.
Okay.
But
it didn't clear and make it.
It didn't clear. Because, you know, obviously splash hit only counts if it hits the water on the fly.
Yeah. Well, we've seen a bunch of these. Like, if it hits the arcade and it's in between people and nobody catches it, it'll bounce straight into
right.
the water.
And that doesn't count.
Yeah. And then there's, like, the promenade down below, the walkway down below, and I've seen plenty of them bounce off of that, too.
Yeah, but a guy went, hands.
Essentially, no hesitation, this guy... Like, he wants to just be a guy who doesn't have a phone or something, right?
Because... No phone, no wallet, nothing electronic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he just went right in, all of his clothes on. He had, like a Letterman jacket kind of
thing. Yeah, it was like a Letterman jacket. It's like a high school jacket. Yeah. I know, exactly.
And he went right in. And
I thought it was a chick at first because I didn't see him go in.
Uh-huh.
I only saw the aftermath.
Yeah.
And the dude had a really long
like a
hair with a
ponytail. Yeah.
And it was floating on the surface of the water. So it looked like a chick when I saw it. And I tweeted out from Georgia. I was like, oh, my God, that girl. And I was like, oh. And then later I saw him get out of the water. Anyway.
So there was a few things of note about this. His move over the railing... was not the most graceful move you've
graceful.
Ever seen.
Yeah. No,
he
no,
kind of
no.
did the thing where he... So I compared it. I was talking to Ryan, and I was like, he Aubrey Huffed it over the rail.
Aubrey Huffed it.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
If people remember, in 2012, Aubrey Huff actually injured himself jumping over the rail to congratulate Matt Cain for his perfect game.
That's right.
So he kind of went over, and then his back foot caught, and so he, instead of like a smooth jump
pretty
over...
Pretty much
and
a flip.
Foot first in, he... kind of went head first in, and look, that could be kind of, I mean, he could like flip and then hit his head on the way down or something like that, but he came out and there was some sort of official looking guys talking to him, maybe they had to help him fish him out or something, but he had a smile on his face and he seemed like he was fine.
And he was in the water for a long time.
Yeah, he was, actually.
At least 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, as a scuba diver, even though the surface water in the bay is probably 60 degrees, 61 degrees, that's still really cold water.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was in there for a few minutes is pretty astounding. But, yeah, I mean, I'm sure his phone's dead, his wallet's soaked, whatever
it is.
He's
got that ball, man.
And he's and he's got that gif to last a lifetime.
Exactly.
So,
that's me, man. That's
so good
me.
For him. Good for him.
So with the other thing we should probably talk about is that not only did the Giants rout the Phillies 15-2, this was historically one of the biggest offensive outputs. So we talked about it a little bit, but that was 22 hits. Which is the most by the Giants in AT&T Park.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, that's...
They were 22 for 45. Think about that.
Yeah.
22 hits, 23 outs. They hit .489 tonight.
That's insane.
That is beer league softball stats.
Yeah.
In fact, my daughter's all-star team lost. They qualified for the state tournament, which they play tomorrow.
Wait,
God.
It's 24 outs, though, right? They had 24 outs. Eight innings of outs.
Yeah, eight innings of outs, right? So that's 24 outs, 22
so
hits.
22.
No, because they had a double play. You think about the at-bats.
Okay, so yeah. So then
they had a double
that
play.
That at-bat made two outs.
Exactly.
Yeah, got it.
So they're 22-45. That was the official set. My daughter's softball team lost last weekend. They qualified for the state tournament, which they play tomorrow, so it's all good. They lost 15-2 last Saturday in their second game. Think about that.
Yeah.
Tonight's game was 15-2. I was feeling pretty awful last Saturday. I'm feeling pretty good right now. I'm sure the Phillies feel like my daughter's team.
Oh, yeah.
Last
weekend.
Does
not feel good. Now, the Phillies are
and those are professional players.
Sure.
Unbelievable.
Now, albeit professional, but dwelling in the cellar.
But getting paid as well. So.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
a little different.
They're all still major league ball players. Like,
yeah.
But it was weird, like, because
the Giants right now as a team are still second in team batting average.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's interesting.
I mean,
yeah, we feel like we haven't been able to score a run, right?
You're one game above .500.
Yeah. Okay, that was the other thing. We talked about this before the game a little bit, but the Giants come into tonight's game 43-43.
Yeah.
Now, they haven't dipped below .500 this season, except for, I think, right at the beginning, they were below for, like, a second, right?
Yeah. And
yeah, but that,
were,
all, no, that
they,
really
they
matters.
They started the season 4-10.
Yeah.
That was their low watermark.
Yeah. So they started awful, and then they've been... There were 10 games over .500.
30-20.
Now they're just hovering around that .500 mark.
Yeah.
And we were talking about if you get to this point in the season and now you are a sub .500 team, that can have like a negative effect psychologically, right?
Well, psychologically.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody has always said that if you are .500 by the break, you're in contention.
Sure.
Especially with the wild card now.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely the case because the Dodgers won tonight. so they're still 5.5 back in the West. Coming into play tonight, they were 4 games back in the wild card. I don't know how Chicago did tonight, but they're no worse than 4 games back right now. There could be 3 games. Point being, they're still well within striking distance, but it is very disheartening, as we talked about on Monday, to see that they were 30-20 at one point, second best record in the National League, to go where they are now, which is really middle of the pack. It's mediocrity. But, again, with the wild card being in play, they have plenty of time. You know, you get... People are slapping each other. You just gain a couple of games a month, and you're right back with the Dodgers, especially with their record against the Dodgers this year. So,
yeah,
it's been pretty good.
So it looks like we are currently 3 games out.
Okay, so Chicago lost tonight.
Chicago lost tonight.
Yeah.
So we're 3 games out of the wild card and 5.5 out of the Western Division. Yep. So, I mean, that's definitely well within striking distance. If, you know, if you...
Even if there was 3 weeks left in the season, it's still...
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. You can make up this crown in a few
problem.
Weeks.
No problem.
So Arizona, though, is only 1 game behind us right now. Which
well,
is
and they were tied going into tonight.
Yeah, that's
true. We were tied with them.
That's true. They lost
both tonight. 500,
So, so a loss would be psychologically bad, obviously. Now, what do you think a 15-2 win does for this team? Do you think that this is just like... This just drives you into the break with momentum. I mean, obviously, it's nice. It's nice to be able to beat up on a last place team right before the All-Star break, obviously. But I gotta feel like with all the guys who are scuffling, especially like a guy like Maxwell, who's like he was creeping up on being a sub 200 hitter. He's been really
he had
really struggling.
4 hits tonight, yeah.
And now he's suddenly got it going. You know, how do you feel that this actually? Does this launch us into the break with
no,
a lot of momentum?
Because we thought. I mean, the Mets are a good team. I don't think as good as we thought they were at the beginning of the year, but we thought we could take 2 out of 3. They didn't. They lost 2 out of 3. So then we're thinking, okay, Philly's coming in. We're going to beat up on them. Absolutely, it started that way.
Yeah.
And if any game you're going to lose to Philly, of course it's going to be to Cole Hamels.
Yeah.
And look what happened tonight.
No, I know, yeah.
Now, here's the funny thing. This is what baseball does to you. Everybody was joking about this when they went up by 10 runs tonight. Watch the Giants score 1 run tomorrow.
Yeah, well.
And guess who's pitching tomorrow? A guy who's 0-5
with an
8.57 ERA.
Sure.
I guarantee you, well, no, I don't guarantee you. I do, I won't be surprised if the Giants score 1 or 2 runs tomorrow. I mean, it's baseball, man. So, I mean.
Yeah, you can't predict anything day to day.
But, I mean, if they take 2 out of 3, so that's just 1 out of the next 2.
Yeah.
They're going to feel good going into the break. They're going to be above 500, right?
Sure.
But they got to take 1 out of the next 2. So hopefully they can just sweep the Phillies, feeling real good, 3 games above 500, going to the All-Star break.
Going into the All-Star break would be fucking fantastic.
Yeah, they're the bottom feeders of the National League right now. I mean, they got to beat these guys.
So, yeah, it's Buchanan, 0-5, 8.76 ERA.
Oh, I said 8.57. It's 8.76.
Yeah, and you got a Vogelsong going for the Giants. And this is a Saturday night game, so rather than being a Saturday day game, which is often the case, you got actually another night game.
Yeah,
so,
odd Saturday night game. Yeah.
One concerning thing was just the way Buster Posey was running. I don't know if you were paying much attention.
That
to
was
that.
The double play that I was talking about earlier.
So that in the first inning, we scored our first run on a bases loaded double play by Buster Posey.
Well, that's what's funny because we were talking earlier in the first inning, Buster Posey, number 4. Hitter comes up with the bases loaded and nobody out. And we're thinking, oh my God, this is going to be a 3 or 4 or 5 run first inning. What does he do? He rolls one over. But it wasn't a hard hit ball.
No.
And you're thinking, oh, well, this is easily going to score a run. He's going to be safe at first. I didn't watch him go down the line. He got thrown out by
down,
a mile.
Yeah, he was
thinking,
real slow.
How the hell was he thrown out?
Well, not only that, but the relay throw, you know, the turn was actually
double clutched.
May not have been double clutched just because they had to double clutch, but they may have looked and seen how much time they had and decided
either
I
way
have time to load up. Yeah,
second baseman was like, okay, now I can throw it.
Yeah,
but when I did see the replay in the in-house monitors. Yeah, Posey looked like he was essentially jogging down the line.
And then on
he's
the single, he
guy,
got
but no, he was
he's
not.
He's never fast.
He was not busting it out.
But then later on, he got a single, and he actually looked real slow going to first there.
Yeah.
And then there was a wild pitch, and he got to second on that, and he actually moved really slow there as well too. So he just didn't look like he was moving very well at all.
Well, look,
it'll be nice to get him some rest, and hopefully he doesn't have to do too much heavy lifting during the
for someone who just pulled his left hammy 2 weeks ago at his daughter's softball practice.
It's not good.
And I'm out for 8 weeks from CrossFit.
Yeah.
I get hamstring injuries. Not that his is as bad as mine. My hamstring is black and blue right now. He is at a crossroads where if he pushes it, he could be out for 6 to 8 weeks if he rips something. If he has a twinge in there, I'm fine with him dogging it out, getting out for a double play if he can play tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's a good point.
And so I think that's what it is. I really do. I think he's a smart player.
The problem for us right now, though, too, is that we don't have a bench, essentially. We have four guys on the bench.
Yeah.
I posted a picture of it because, you know, we get these box scores and everything in the roster. Here's our bench right now. Gregor Blanco, Adjianza, Joaquin Arias, Andrew Susak. It's our entire bench. That's four guys we can bring in.
Yeah, we
That's
got
not a lot. We have 13 pitchers.
We have 13 pitchers right now.
13 pitchers, yeah.
Yeah.
And one extra outfielder, one extra catcher, and two extra infielders.
And we saw everyone but Arias tonight, right?
Yeah, and I guess potentially you could maybe throw Arias into the outfield if need be, but, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's and then you got guys nursing injuries, you know what I mean? You got guys who are not 100% healthy, like Buster Posey. So I don't even know how you can spell him and give him some time off.
Yeah.
I think you really just have to, like, yeah, like people on Reddit were saying, well, why is he catching if he's got, like, a hamstring injury? It's possible that it's easier for him to sit in a squat than it is to, like, run back and forth from first base.
Or stretch,
you know,
or whatever.
Because from first base, you got to think, like, if you have to dive for a ground ball or if you have to run to cut something off or you're constantly moving from your position back to the base and then back to the position, back to the base. So it might not be easier on a hamstring than catching. Catching is just, I get down the squat and I just chill, you know?
Yeah.
So who knows? Either way, it was a fantastic game. We're gonna cut our torture cast short here because it is late, man. Giants don't usually play these long games. We're not used to this from the Bay Area.
When you score 15 runs, it
takes a long time. It's a lot of running around the bases, man.
A lot of running. Yeah. You know, Madison Bumgarner delayed the game a little bit with his little stutter there.
He stopped running, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of pitching changes, so. But it's a good long game.
It was a good long game.
It's
it wasn't
a good
a
reason
game. I was
to
having
have
fun.
A long game.
I was having fun from essentially the fourth inning until now, which was, that was about 3 hours.
Well, I don't often hear the press box cheer or laugh.
Well, the press box was loose
fun.
as could be tonight.
The press box was loose in the last three innings.
Speaking of, a couple of fun things happened tonight. So, you know, we're starting to get a little bit more comfortable in the press box. People know who we are now. It's getting a little bit more like we feel like we're supposed to be there. Like, we belong in there now. And tonight I was sitting next to Ryan Covey from KNBR. I've probably heard his name. He was the one sitting next to me.
Okay,
he's
I didn't know who that was. Was by you. Okay.
So he's an SF State alum as well. He did the same program I did. He went the same degree. And he's been at KNBR. I think he was, like, again, like me, I was an intern. I think he was an intern as well, like, right before I was there. And so he remembers, like, all the same stuff, like, doing events. And, you know, we worked for, like, some of the same people and everything. But he's stuck there at KNBR, and now he's actually starting to be on the air. And I guess tonight he's actually doing sports phone. So, you know, so that was kind of cool. He was really nice. We're talking. He's expressed interest in coming on our show, so hopefully we'll be able to get him on at some point, which would be cool to hear, like, kind of the...
He didn't directly invite you on Sports Phone tonight?
No, unfortunately not. He left, actually, pretty... He left after, I think it was 10-0, or 10-2, or whatever.
Oh, yeah, he's got to prep for the show.
He had to go get ready at the station. But, but so he expressed interest in coming on the show, which is cool, so that'd be great. Hopefully we'll get him on
at some point. Yeah.
Hear about what the process is like trying to break into sports talk radio, which is not an easy thing. He's trying to do it. And then there was a tweet that I got, like, randomly, because we were hanging out at the yard, which is near McCovey Cove across the street from the ballpark. across the bridge, there's that new thing that they got this season. It's the yard. And they've got like a bunch of Anchor Steam brewery little things set up and some food.
Yeah. Shipping containers. And,
yeah, people playing cornhole.
Yeah, cornhole.
So it's a cool place to hang out before the game, though. Yeah. It was actually really, really cool to hang out there. But while I was there, I took a picture of the ballpark across the way, and I tweeted it, and got a tweet back at me from a guy who is apparently a fan of the show I do, The Instance, which is the World of Warcraft podcast, and also a front office employee for the Giants since 1997, it turns out. So we looked him up, and it was just really cool. And he actually said he was going to try to make it up to the press box. He didn't, but he did send me a picture. If you're familiar with World of Warcraft, it's been around for a while. Anybody who came on at the very beginning and hasn't broken their subscription for the entire 10 years that the game was out.
Right, that's 2004-05,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, received a small statue. And they didn't tell anybody they were going to do this. They just did it. So people who had 10-year-long subscriptions without ever breaking it, without ever missing a month, receive these little statues, and he apparently was one of those people. So this guy's like hardcore, you know. He had his little statue, and he tweeted at me a picture of that with the 3 World Series rings all sitting on his desk, and 2 instances of WoW up, and then he had 100 pence in the middle because he was watching the game, and he said, you know, he's like, it's all very self-referential. Like 100 pence used to play World of Warcraft,
all
the rings, you know, all this stuff. And I tweeted at him, and I thought that might have been the greatest picture I've ever seen in my life.
It's a confluence of so many things that are awesome. It really
is. So hopefully at some point we'll get to actually, hopefully I'll be able to meet this guy and hang out, and it would be awesome to get a chance to say hi to somebody who's been with the organization for as long as he has and who enjoys what I do. So that's pretty cool.
18 years.
Maybe he'll be listening to the Instances or to the TortureCast at some point. But for all the people who are listening to TortureCast, thanks very much for checking it out. This is Bonusode 91.1. So,
yes. You
know, if you actually count all the bonusodes as just episodes.
Oh, we're over 100.
We're well over 100.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're 105 or something like that.
And
yeah,
we're actually, and you'd mentioned it, we crossed the 4-year barrier now.
Yeah, last June.
So, yeah.
Last month.
So, TortureCast has been in your ear holes for 4 years, everybody. That's kind of crazy.
Almost as old as my son. So.
Wow. Time flies, huh?
Yeah, but TortureCast doesn't cry at me like my son does, so.
Yeah, we don't put little ball bearings in your speakers.
No,
we don't do any of that.
No.
Nothing but joy from the TortureCast. If you guys want more from us, including all the things like the interviews and everything like that, you definitely check out the blog, torturecast.com. That's where you will find things like my stream of consciousness from tonight's game, as well as some stories. Like Eric said, he was working on something, so should have something new from him. Because we're getting towards mid-season. It's time to maybe start, you know, looking back at this
half
a season.
Halfway. Absolutely.
And see what we can kind of determine from what we've seen so far. You can also check us out on Facebook. You can like us there. Follow us on Twitter, @TortureCast. And you can follow each one of us individually. I am @WillyDills. Chad is @ChadK21. We've also got Ben, who's @FriedDuck. And Eric is @2OutHits. And find us all there. Keep up with what's going on. Subscribe to the podcast. We really appreciate everybody listening. And the numbers have been growing the longer we do this. 4 years, we've actually got some fans who've stuck around for a while. So we really appreciate you guys listening. We had a blast tonight at the game. And it's possible we'll be doing another one of these soon. We were discussing some dates.
Because, I think in 2 weeks.
Yeah, okay.
In 2 weeks.
All right, so 2 weeks we'll try to do another one of these. But until then, we'll see you guys on Monday. And that's going to do it for episode 91.1 of the TorchCast. A-boom. A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter, @TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at torturecast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying, we'll see you next time.